Now it's time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers-in-Law, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And we answer your voicemails. Call in at 800-420-1980 and leave us one today.
All right. Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. Listen, you know, it's so amazing to sit next to the best attorneys in the world, Mr. Mark and Craig Wasserman.
Why did I look around the room when you said that? I was like, where are they?
Thank you, Blue. Oh.
Too kind, Blue.
No, seriously, man. Too kind. And that guy in the background is Mr. Joe Grande. And let me tell you, Joe.
He is the background.
You are the background.
An asshole?
You are an asshole. You hold up the background like nobody's business.
Thank you. It's my shoulders that can hold the weight.
And my name is Blue, and today we have an amazing show for you because we're going to give it back to you out there in Radio Land. Our podcast land. And so it's great to actually hear from the fans, listeners, and people that love us and hate us. So we're going to go ahead and play some of those back.
And if you ever want to be a part of it, Mark, what's the number?
1-800-420-1980.
Craig, what's that number again?
1-800-420-1980.
That's 1-800-420-1980 now.
1-800-420-1980.
No,
420.
Ocho.
Fuck, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, you almost did that, but you kind of
tried. I just forgot the number and I tried to translate it and I couldn't fucking do it.
1-800.
Cuantos dineros?
I don't know.
Yeah,
no. But thank you guys for being a part of the podcast.
Yes, and thank you for joining us here on Cannabis Talk 101. We're going to pass it over to Pitt so he can play what the people say.
What do we got there, Pittster?
Hey, guys. So first I want to say I love the show. Blue, Joe, Mark, and Craig, you guys all do fantastic. Been listening to a lot of the shows lately. Craig, you're a funny man. You come with it sometimes. But please don't ever do the intro again.
Oh! That was the worst. Here we go.
So the funny thing about that call, I wish they would say their name.
That was the whole call?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing
that.
So, you know, we ask listeners during certain podcasts, call us up or make a comment on this. Let us know about something. And the first time I had Craig do that, we were sitting here and, you know, we all have our roles.
And you threw it to me the last second.
And it's not his role.
The very last second.
So I was like, Craig, do this. I think it was just us two doing it, right?
It was.
And then I did it again and we said, you know, what do you think of us? Call us up. And somebody called
us
up
funny.
To tell us what they think.
Intro wasn't that bad.
No.
I mean, like the guy said, you bring
But I want to know is, hey, spoke. Wait, what I want to know though is.
Who is that guy?
You said I was a funny guy. Is it funny, like funny ha-ha, or funny like a clown, or what did he mean?
Well, I if you're asking, since I'm going to answer, I'm going to go with clown since you color your hair so much and your facial hair. So since you do all these things, that's very clownish.
He's a funny guy. Hey, my big brother's funny.
Hey.
Look at my big brother. He's so funny. I concur.
Give me that number.
Just pretend I just shot you in the foot.
What are you laughing at? That's one of the best movies ever, though. Funny like what do you mean
funny? Funny like a clown? Funny haha? Or funny like a clown?
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci from Casino.
Casino.
No. Oh, my God.
I was just in Palm Springs, and I was thinking about Casino going.
Or Goodfellas.
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 But they all go to Palm Springs anyways. But I was just thinking of all those Joe Pesci movies. He's in all of them anyways.
He is.
But thank you for that call. I wish the caller would have said
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you for the props.
Leave us your name so we can shout you out, too, whoever you are. But thank you for at least acknowledging that Craig did a shitty job on the intro.
No, you know what?
Craig wanted to know.
I thought he was sincere when he said I thought he was a funny guy. Like I don't think he was like funny like a clown. I think he was more like, hey, you're a funny guy. I love the show.
I think you're funny.
But then he's like, but don't do the intro. And that was him being funny. You know what I mean? I didn't take it like
I think you're right.
Yeah,
that was him being funny.
I think he was honest through the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was just honest through the whole thing. You're funny and you shouldn't do the intro.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. Hey, remember, if you're leaving a message, you're going to have to listen to each and every show because we never know when we're going to sprinkle these in. So
yes.
Be sure to listen so you can hear yourself on the air.
Because they've been on other shows. We play them normally towards the end of the show. So if you do you know, want to hear yourself, you got to listen to the whole podcast.
Well, sometimes you got to literally go ahead and feel like, hey, you know, you're going to listen to it, find yourself, but also plug yourself. Like some of these people are missing the fact that we're giving you an opportunity to go ahead and plug yourself. And
that's your company, whatever it is.
1-800-420-1980. Yes.
What else we got, Pitt?
Hey, guys. This is David from Dayton, Ohio. I listen all the time. Love the show. One of my biggest questions is I love that you guys you know, pick out politicians and stuff like that who have spoke on marijuana. And I was wondering if you could speak to the people in between, like me, who are libertarian or, you know, just would like to see a third party actually come up, because obviously both sides are in the pockets of everybody else. So, you know, Jo Jorgensen, she's a female candidate for president, and I would love to hear her side of things on your show, if possible. You guys are doing a great job. Love the slam poem. And I'm going to shut the fuck up right now.
Yeah.
How great is that?
David, that was great.
David. Thank you. Those are great comments.
You're right.
And you're right. We do need a shift in who gets into office. And unfortunately, so many politicians right now, regarding weed anyways, instead of having their Republican libertarian roots, they're just being ogres about what they feel is moral and not letting the states decide. Because I know libertarians are more or less let the states decide, less governmental interference. So I think that would be great. Joe, you got that name.
What is the name? Joe?
Joe Jorgensen.
Dave Jorgensen or Joe?
Joe.
Yeah,
Joe, but a woman.
Oh, she popped up right away. Look at this. Joe Jorgensen.
We will reach out to her, David. David, we will certainly reach out to her, get her on the show, get her some airtime.
She actually goes by Joanne Marie Jorgensen, the Libertarian Party's nominee for President of the United States in the 2020 election, is an American academic and libertarian political activist. Jorgensen was previously the party's nominee for vice president in the 1996 U.S. presidential election as running mate of Harry Brown. She was born May 1st, 1957. Interesting. She was also the Libertarian nominee for South Carolina's 4th congressional district in 1982, not receiving too many votes there, 2.2%, but she's out there doing her thing. I'm not mad at her. She's from Illinois, Libertyville, Illinois. She went to Baylor University with her BS, Southern Methodist University to get her MBA, then Clemson University to get her PhD. Go ahead, girl. I ain't mad at you, little smarty pants. Her early life, she was born out there in good old Illinois.
Does it say what her views on cannabis are at all?
I don't see anything that pops out at me this quick as I'm just finally doing the research on it right now.
Well, a true libertarian would say leave it to the states.
Yeah. Hold on. War on drugs. This is a topic right here that I just see. Jorgensen opposed the war on drugs, calling both of her opponents tainted on race and the drug war a failed policy. She supports abolishing drug laws and promises to pardon all nonviolent drug offenders.
Let's get her on the show, Joe.
Get her on the show.
You know, I mean, the way you've been booking great guests like that, maybe you should reach out.
I think we should have our producer get him on the show.
Hey, Elvis, if you're listening, since we never see you either, maybe you're listening to this podcast and you could fucking do something.
David, that was a great comment.
Great question. Let's go.
And we'll reach out to her, though. Thank you for this lead.
Yeah, let's go to the next one, Pitt. Let's see what we got. That was a great one, though.
Like the slam.
He did like the slam poem.
What's up, Lou? Mr. Joe Grande. It's Robert Lewis from Dr. Feels Good, a.k.a. Nick Feels Good. Yeah, I'd love to be on the show, man. Hit me back. Talk to you later, guys. Happy holidays.
Yeah, man. Right,
so a friend of yours.
Well, he's a colleague that we've met at a seminar, and we're doing some education. And it's funny because his company was called Dick's Feels Good. And it's a CBD company
store in Florida.
Yeah, so it's props amazing. Out to you, brother, that you have that. But how funny is that name?
Dick's Feels Good.
CBD.
Dick's Feel Good.
Dick's Feels Good.
Dick's Feels Good.
I think it was D-I-X, yeah.
Yeah, Dick's Feels Good CBD.
Did you ever hear of the apple cider brand?
No, what's the story there? It's
Dickens Cider?
Dickens Cider. No.
It's true. There really is a brand, Dickens Cider.
Nice.
Is this like current? Is this legit? I mean, as you say, this is why people think you're funny, Craig. See that? That right there is why people think
but
you're funny.
It's true.
I love cider.
It's true, though. It's well, really out there.
Is that what you buy all the time? You're like, babe, I'm getting some more Dickens Cider.
Where's that Dickens Cider?
Amanda's all, you quit saying that, damn it.
Well, you know, it's funny because
this guy was opening up Dick and cider.
Yeah, let's go get
we're
some.
We're getting CBD and apple juice.
Well, this guy was talking apple to me juice. And he was like, "Hey, you know, getting some advice of you know how he should open his store and what he should do." And then, you know, originally it was Dr. Feels Good CBD, right? It was Dr. Feels Good, but they wouldn't in Florida they wouldn't let him use Dr.
Right,
Feels Good,
right? FDA stuff.
Yeah, because yeah, so he got denied at Dr. Feels Good. So and then he just put okay, well he just literally just put Dicks, you know, and then he didn't realize it with an X. Yeah, it was Dicks with an X. And then he puts Dicks, and then he realized he had Feels Good on there, and he didn't even catch it. I don't think because we were like Dicks Feels Good. Like is that like,
honestly the way he told the story? He didn't get it either.
He didn't get it either.
Oh no, like he caught it after the fact.
Yeah, and he had already made his signs and everything else. So he was, and then he was like, "You think I should take it down?" We're like, "Hell no. Dick's Feels Good is amazing, you know?" And so now he's got a
Florida. We're all looking for that.
He's in Florida. He's got a CBD store out there and he's doing well. You know, he actually was able to stay open during coronavirus because he went to the city and got approved to sell sanitizer and masks.
And they said Dick's can stay open.
And they said Dick's can stay open.
As long as you keep 6 feet.
Oh, it was fun, man.
But how big is Dick's?
It's a big store.
It's about 1,500 square foot store.
No, it's actually 2,225. I mean, it's a nice size store.
No, it's 12 inches.
Craig,
you're
that's
so funny.
A joke comment. Quit being such a pig.
Oh, man. Well, with that being said, Dick's does feel good. We'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. It's Mark Wasserman, Pop Brothers at Law with Craig Wasserman Blue and Joe Grande. And we want to give a very special thanks to Pitt, Peanut, Jennifer, and
Elvis Medina.
Elvis, thank you all very much for helping us put this show together. And today we're having a lot of fun. We're taking phone calls from you out there in the audience. Remember, what's that phone number, Joe?
It's actually we're playing voicemails. We're not really taking phone calls, just to be clear. We're also call us up anytime. It's 800-420-1980. That number in Spanish, Craig, is
856.
Oh man.
856-420. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, Mark. Say it like
800-420-1980.
How would I say it, pendejo?
You would say 800-420.
1980. Orale, pues. Call us up. Speak to the gente over here.
Orale. Let's hear another message, Pitt.
All right, let's go to the voicemails.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good evening. My name is Phyllis Joseph. I am calling because I would like to ask a question, and this has nothing to do with cannabis. I'm not sure if you guys are answering questions regarding everything. My question is there a book that I can buy? I live in New York. City, is there a book that I can buy for myself and my sons, also my husband, that details all rules, regulations, and laws that we can read to find out what our rights are? A couple years ago, because of a fight at home with my son and his girlfriend, the police were called. When they got here, they walked right in the door, and I knew that was illegal, but wasn't sure. So. Again, my question is there a book or site where I can go and print out all of the rules and laws for New York City? Please and thank you for your help.
Wow.
Have a good day.
You know, I really like the fact that she had just an honest question. Let's try and give her an honest answer on that. That's beautiful. I'm sorry that you're going through that.
You could probably go online. There's a company called Nolo Press, N-O-L-O Press, and they make very simplistic books. It breaks down different areas of the law, and they very may well have some type of a book that goes over what your rights are, depending on what area of the law you want to find out, they have different books for contracts, for wills, trust, for criminal law, constitutional law, I believe. That would be my best advice.
I would also say go to the New York State Bar website, as they may have some links to resources there as well.
I also just went on, just because of your question, I went on Amazon to see if you could order something delivered to your house, and I see a book called Penal Law of the State of New York. I mean, it's only $26.95, but it may be some guidance that you're looking for within that. I think the Penal Law book would be good. It's relatively, you know, at a good price, in my opinion, at $26.95. It could probably give you a lot of advice for New York, and for those who are interested in wondering if you're in a different city and want to know, because that's a great question. Like, yeah. What I did was I put penal law of the state of, and then put whatever state you're in.
Well, I mean, it depends what rights they're talking about. So you can almost Google book regarding rights in X state.
Or maybe even find it online where you're not even buying it. You could probably get it as a PDF actually on a website somewhere as well.
And of course, if you want to know your rights when dealing with law enforcement, just go to Pop script. Brothers at Law. You know, we've got
you know,
a lot
but
of information
one other
there.
Thing
we need
though,
to put together that,
was,
that book. We've been asked to put together a book like that.
You know, one thing that she did ask though, and she said, and I'm not sure if she was correct about this or not, and this is just more of a question to the Pop Brothers at Law. Is she says, you know, the police just walked into her house. Well, I think there was a violent act going on. And so I think
I don't
they
know if
might
have
well,
she said there was just a fight.
She said there was a fight.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it could, well, depends argument. What the 911 call was, but is that lawful for them to walk into a house like that under a call like that? Or
do they
have to have a warrant?
They're going
to
say exigent circumstances, which means it was an emergency. They got a call. There was a fight. Somebody might be being beat
hurt
up
so they have
to go inside even Wilfer if we say
check.
Even if we were outside going it was me and Blue check. We were arguing, the neighbors heard us, but we're good, we're just getting loud about whatever, they still got to go inside the house. Is anybody in the house?
And they'll allege exigent circumstances. On my kid's first case that he had, where it was a robbery attempt, he had a grow at the time under the old rules, and someone, they tried to rob him. And he actually fought the guys off at the door.
Like physically fought him off?
Him off at the door. They had stuck a gun in the door. Luckily, he was able to kick the door, get the guys, and he actually screamed for his friend in the other room. A neighbor heard it. The three perpetrators ran off. The manager of where he was saw them run off.
Did the gun fall?
No, they kept the gun.
So the hand was in the door, and he slammed the door on the gun in the hand?
And the guy took the hand out
and ran. It's like a straight movie, dog.
I mean, yeah, it was brutal. And then, but when the cops get there, the manager told him everything I just said. She saw the people run off, and my son did the smart thing, locked his door. He had a grow at the time. Locked his door, came outside, and the cops came. And 40 minutes later, after cuffing him.
Cuffing your son?
Cuffing my son, who was attempted.
Who was the victim?
Who was the victim. Yes. They went up to the door. And they came up with any reason they could to get into the house. And once they got into the house, they found the grow and they busted him for illegal grow, even though he was doing it under the proper rules at the time. But in the police report, it said they had exigent circumstances, which means we got this case dismissed because they fucking lied. And we proved they lied because if it was exigent circumstances, the minute they rolled up,
should have went in there.
They should have gone in there, broke down the doors. Was anybody hurt? Was anybody taken hostage? And it was 40 minutes later that they decided to come up with exigent circumstances. So they can always do what they want. And if you shut the fuck up, like my kid did, we got the case dismissed based on illegal search and seizure.
Wow.
Illegal search and seizure.
And they had their audio on, right?
This
is great.
And there's so many cases I've come across where they forget that their audio is on, that their thing is on.
We have this to use against you,
and
cops.
These guys were actually saying, how are we going to get in the house? We gotta find a way in.
Call Sergeant so-and-so. He'll know.
We gotta find that bad, though, if you think about it. We got to figure out a way to get in there and look.
If they
lied about it, that's the bad part.
Why should they get in the house? They asked him, why were you getting burglarized?
Why were you getting
robbed? Really? I got a brand new 80-inch TV, fucker.
Yeah, like, why not? Who knows?
Why are you going to get me as I'm the victim and you're attacking me as the victim?
You know why? Because he got profiled.
Yeah.
Come out in his... You know, he was in the morning, real early, so he had these boxer shorts on, and he had a wife beater on, and he's, you know...
Your son does portray a thug, let's just face it. Your son is very thuggish when you
look
at him.
Urban.
No, thug.
No.
Thug's nicer than urban.
Thug.
Your son does look thuggish.
So, yeah. So the answer is they can do whatever they want, but they don't necessarily get away with it.
And as long as you follow the protocol, you can get the right lawyer to get you out. If they find something's wrong, they can get you out of it as long as you STFU.
And didn't consent.
Correct. And start recording. And always film the police. When the cops come around, so lady in New York, next time, or anybody listening,
start filming.
Yeah. Always, even at your house, in the car, on the fucking grocery store.
Make a safe distance. Ever. And have a safe distance. Keep the film rolling. And if they scare you to tell you not to, let them know you're right. I have the right to film. You're in public. You know, this is public or private property, and this is my private or public property. And just keep filming. You know, I mean, I
think all cops at this point understand that.
I don't know.
I don't think so, Doc.
No.
Hit was just showing me this video of this guy, this young brother on, you know, this black guy in the car filming. And he's like going, look, you guys, this guy's trying to get me. Have you guys seen this post?
That was from 2019, by the way.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Here you go. Are you ready?
Here's the show.
Here's the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was 2019?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, it's resurfaced. Thank you.
Trying to find out what happened to that cop.
Are you looking into it?
I haven't come up with anything yet, but trying to find out. I will by next week.
I'm glad it resurfaced, though, because it shows a lot of cops. And, you know, God willingly, we're going to have actually a cop that Mark's been talking to, who's actually a captain or sergeant, lieutenant, whatever he is. He was supposed to come on already, but he got called on some big case.
Something else.
But he explains all the cops, which I'm sure we'll talk about it with him, but it just makes me lead to this right now. I think it's great for these cops to express the script to all their people that are going out, because they need to learn the law as well. Like, guys, realize that these people are following the law when they shut the fuck up. They're following the law by not giving us information.
They're instituting their rights. Civil rights is what they're doing.
And a lot of cops, on the flip side, and I can sit here and say this with, like, I get it. I can see how it could piss them off, because I'm so used to asking a question, I want a fucking answer from you because I'm the cop.
Makes their job easier.
Right? So it seems like that's what I'm
trained. That's how they're trained.
And unfortunately, that's how society's been trained. We need to answer the police. We need to always tell them everything.
Right.
That's how we've been trained, society. Social,
them.
Like, you know,
we're
brain training.
We're retraining them. Just, this is your rights.
Prepare to be
reprogrammed. So I hope more cops and more people go over the script and learn that this is literally your rights. It may not be great for the cop because they're going to fish and they want to put you to jail, whether they're coming to your house, pulling you over, talking to you at the liquor store, pulling up on you at the gas station, whatever it is, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Don't say
anything. And start filming when they start talking
to
you.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's go to the next one, Pitt. Let's go.
Quick question. Why do y'all keep playing music while y'all are talking? It's annoying. Tell that producer step the game up.
Nice.
Pitt.
Playing music?
Pitt, what music we playing?
I don't hear the music. When do we play music while we're talking?
I wish that guy could, I like calling people by their names.
Pitt wants to say something now. He's like, I'm not going to let that go.
What are we talking about here?
It's the intro music and the outro music.
Oh.
Put it up.
The signature music.
It's the intro.
Are we talking at the time?
Outro. Yeah.
It's a bed. Outro, it's a music bed.
You know, just going out, you know, with the intro.
You know how you hear the hey, it's Cannabis Talk 1 of the music that comes in.
Oh,
that's all it is. Right. You know, and we don't do it throughout the show. It only plays. And what it is, it's an indicator for you to know the show's starting, the show's going to break, the show's starting, the show's going to break. We don't sit there and play music throughout the podcast. But if it does bother you, we're sorry. We'll turn it down a little bit. How about that?
We'll adjust it.
Adjust the volume.
Adjust the levels.
But you know what? This, you guys, is the reason why we have the call line.
Yeah.
We can justify or give an explanation. Or if you bring up something that we go, you know what?
Maybe
great
we
point.
Change
we'll
it.
Fucking change that. We, you know what? Now that you brought that up.
If it's a real valid point.
Good point. But this one, we actually all like the theme song.
But he's valid, though. He wants to hear us talking.
I think he's mentioned it because Pitt has the volume too loud, and in probably some of the podcasts it was overbearing on us. But I think we've made the adjustments, so by the time you're mentioning this and the podcast that you're listening to,
smooth.
It should sound a lot better. But you know what? Thank you.
Call
for
us
those
back
comments.
And let us know.
Yeah, 800-420-1980. That number again is 800-420-1980. Should we break and come back with some more?
Sounds
calls?
Good.
Yes.
Let's do it. We'll be right back.
Craig, bring us back in.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Yeah.
Mark, why are you making... Keep going,
hey,
Craig. Don't
you know
end.
What? If you want to call in, you got to dial what number, Joe?
It's 800-420-1980.
Or you can dial 800-420-1980. uno, nuevo, ocho, zero.
Yeah!
Wow, mi gente. That's for his wife's family if they want to call in and be a part of the show.
That's it, man.
Amanda, tell the family to listen towards the last segment. I shouted him out.
Yeah.
Welcome back to us listening to voicemails and answering questions.
The voicemails of the untold.
Of the gente. The gente spoke.
Who's next, Pit? Who's
what do we got,
El Jefe.
Let's go.
What'd you call me?
That's me.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. My name is Kaori Terry. I am interested in investing in a cannabis store here in California, and I was wondering what are the following steps that I need to proceed to start a business, get paperwork and legal documents done. If you all could call me back and again, that's thank you. You all have
a maybe we should call her.
Yeah, let's call her up.
Should we call her and see what she wants to do?
No, what she needs to do is call 1-800-1-855-855-WASLAW.
Oh, is that how many 855s is there?
855-WASLAW. There is so many things to go over regarding getting a licensed cannabis business in the state of California. We cannot do justice over the on our podcast to explain everything. But, I mean, your bottom line is you need to find a piece of property in a city that allows the cannabis activity in a zone where it's allowed, get a city permit, and then a state license. And that's the short answer to the process.
Would you say, Mark and Craig, that when somebody asks a question like that, like, you know, someone's listening going, I'm looking to start a business. What are my first things I need to have before I even come to you? What should I have that I can get? Are those the things that you just stated?
Questions.
That I should have?
That's it.
Money.
Well, yeah. Well, have a lot of.
Yeah. And unfortunately.
When you say money, what do you think is a dice roll of I have X amount of dollars behind me. Where should be my start level of before I even
it depends start on the to think I should do it? It depends on the activity. If you're talking about a delivery service, maybe $150,000.
So I could probably start a delivery service with $150, $150,000,
give or take. If you're looking at if you're looking at a volatile extraction manufacturing license, $3 to $5 million potentially.
Wow. And if I'm looking to open a dispensary,
same thing. I could be up in the million range.
About $1 million.
Start off at $1 million.
It depends.
Start playing.
It depends because you got to remember
too many, how you structure.
You got to remember you're carrying. You got to get a piece of property first in a city,
even for delivery service, right?
Everything. Yep. Even for
everything has to have it.
Any business, a lease, an office space.
So $150,000 plus a piece of property.
Yes.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Or a lease,
and depending on the activity, that could include the lease amount. But remember, you're carrying a piece of property, whether you bought it or whether you're leasing it, for a good 8 months to a year and a half before you get your okay to do your cannabis business.
Maybe even 2 years.
So you have to carry that rent or that lease payment during that whole period of time. So that adds into the budget. So you have to find out what kind of budget you have. And we're real honest with people that it's going to cost X amount. If you can't do it going forward, don't throw in a little and then waste it all because you realize you can't go forward. And a lot of attorneys will just, when they hear someone and they want to sign up, they want to do it something, okay, give me $5,000, we'll get started.
And before you even have anything, just $5,000 right now, let's start talking.
Let's go.
Well, you could do it. You could do it.
And then before you know it, you're into a $10,000-$20,000 going, wait a minute.
We haven't done anything yet.
I need another $75 or $100. Wait,
well,
I didn't have that.
I ran out. You know, but
right.
Biggest,
so that's why we laid
out playing lawyer fees first.
But sometimes when you have, let me say this though, because you don't want to steal everybody's vision and dream. You know, at the same time,
we do.
No, you don't, because what
crush
happens
it.
is that you come
and then
in,
make it happen.
Sometimes you get that first $10,000 or $15,000 that gets you far enough to be able to raise the capital that you need in order to be successful in this space.
Yeah, but if you can't raise the capital, what we do though, if you've got a lot of people.
Location.
Don't have access.
Let's say you lock down a location, okay, in the green zone, and there's only 122 properties in the green zone, and only out of those 122, there's 15 that are available, and you have one of them, right? I've seen people
Everybody's not like you, Blue.
No, I'm just saying.
He's just using analogies.
No,
of what's
no,
like,
no,
I like when he does this.
No, I understand, though, but our point is people have to be told this isn't like back in the day when we had cooperative and collectives where you can come in and for $10,000-$20,000, we can set you up as a legitimate business. We didn't have to talk about a budget and do you have 200 grand to carry this property?
Do it out of your
house.
Do you
have to get permitting architects, safety consultants, surveillance consultants, safe consultants?
Security. This,
all. I mean, you got so much building planning. You have to go through the building department, get permits. You got to get fire, safety.
I'm about the underdog that goes out and locks that
property
up. No,
but what happens is this.
They call me and I'm like, let's go find that capital if we don't have enough ourselves.
But that's you. Most people don't have that. I don't wherewithal.
Entrepreneur. The drive.
Well, not necessarily not the drive, because a lot of them have the drive to do it, but they don't have the wherewithal or the knowledge to know how to go out and get investor money. A lot of people don't. So we lay it on the table and say, this is how it is. If you want to do it, eyes wide open. We're behind you. We believe you could be successful. There's money to be made, but it's not as easy as you think. And this is what it's going to cost. If you want to do it, let's do it.
It's a risk, especially if you're dealing with people that haven't gotten one or understand how to get one. I mean, you know, some of the biggest things you need to have is operational skills, you know, and understanding how to run a business, and there's merit based that comes into play, like who's on your team, you know, who's going to be helping you run this facility, how many points did you get on the security plan, how many points did you get on the education of people coming into cannabis, how many points did you get on this, on that, and those points start to add up. And if you have, you know, a great marketing deck or pitch deck to the state and the city, to the city really, then you can get to that next level. The first level is getting your city to prove it. Now, one other thing that I want to say, that's in California. In a lot of other states right now, guys, I know this for a fact, you can walk down to your city, in the city that you're in, a small city that doesn't have a lot going on, ask them for a CUP to operate cannabis, and they just sign it over and go, here you go, guys. I've seen it happen. You know, and they don't need all those big fancy things like California's asking for. There's Maine was doing it. Maine did it for fairly easy. There was a lot of little, what are they called? Unincorporated towns.
Wasn't Oklahoma doing it real easy too, like that?
Well, they changed, but
they just changed recently.
Well, they're resident.
They changed stuff. It was easy in the first 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, it was easy.
Yeah, it's still easier for residents, right?
Yeah, but
for you and I to go to Oklahoma, it's difficult. Yep. So you actually have to use a resident there. If not, you have to have 2 years of...
get a driver's license out there, all that stuff. Get a piece of property that you're renting.
Yeah.
You can't just get a PO box anymore.
And if you want more information from Blue, call them up. 562-746-5555.
Don't give it to me.
We got another one, Pitt?
Let's do one more. Let's do one more before we check out.
Yes, hi. I got this number a while back, and I kept it, and I was wanting to know how to go about starting my own cannabis business. If you could point me in the direction or give me a call back, my number is again. The number is I'm wanting you to point me in the right direction. I have some people here that's interested in starting their own cannabis business. Again, my name is Petey. All right, you can call me Tejada Alexander. Get back to me at your earliest convenience. Thank you. Be blessed and be safe.
I want to answer that first. This is what you do.
Miss Alexander, here you go.
You go buy 1 pound of weed. You break it down.
And get little dime bags.
365. You break it down into...
Crank call.
To 20 bags. 20 bags.
No, you know, that's not funny. Double that's and not funny. Your money.
We kind of answered it at the beginning, but I actually really think a lot of people need to hear this as well. Going off of what everyone said kind of answers that first question, but if you really want to jump into the game a little quicker than not, CBD is your route to get into the cannabis game. So if you're listening going, I want to get into
really.
Let me tell you why, Craig. You can start building your brand name. And you can go from that CBD brand to cannabis. So you start in the cannabis game,
boom.
And you start building it.
Oh. Yeah, just go right over.
Well, no, what
I'm just saying, just go right over.
You develop
a brand recognition.
I get the brand recognition part.
And then by getting into it, if someone wants to get into it, it's still a long play and real expensive to go straight into THC. Bottom line. But if you want to get into this business, can start doing a CBD company. We talked about it earlier.
I think a CBD company is awesome. I think it's great. I think
it's
smart.
In the cannabis space.
It's not. It's separate from the cannabis space because it's regulated completely separate from the cannabis space.
But it is considered the cannabis space.
It's the cannabis space. They're brothers and sisters. I mean, you've got.
But it doesn't. It's not going to help you get a cannabis business at all.
No, it'll lead right into it.
It's not an easier step
because you're building a brand recognition, and therefore you can start from that brand recognition. From me having my great CBD oils, rubs, tinctures,
bath bombs that never
all
come?
This. Yeah,
no, that's going
to
get you.
I'm getting them to you. That's going to give you a leg up for sure. And that's all I'm saying.
On a cannabis company who doesn't have a brand and goes right into the cannabis space, but you still have to get into the cannabis space the way we just went over it. So it doesn't really having that other than having a brand to sell once you get your permits, it doesn't really do much.
Well, I said everything that we said before I said this, we kind of answered her question of all the things that we need to do to get into cannabis. I'm saying to get into it as well as everything we've already went over, this is another way to start getting into it quicker. You can start doing CBD a lot faster because you don't have to buy.
Do it overnight.
You don't have to lease.
The entry level's not as hard.
Exactly.
You know, and one of the things
there's
too.
There's no testing.
There's testing.
It doesn't translate the same.
In order to have a merchant account, you have to have a COA on that product.
Showing it's under 0.03.
Yeah. Correct. And that it doesn't have any heavy metals and things like that. But one of the things that is, you have to realize is that if you're coming into a space and you say you got 10 grand to start a business and you really want to get into the cannabis industry or the CBD industry, that's the entryway for you. Instead of saying, you know what, you can't be involved, you know, you might want to consider getting a CBD brand and opening up white labeling a CBD product or investing in a farm or buying CBD in itself and producing your own product line, because those are a fair entryway to get in. I mean, you know, we help people with it, and I think it's important.
No, I think it's a great business model. I think CBD's, I mean, a great way to go. It's like a fraction of the cost of getting into the cannabis space, but I still don't agree that it really, other than having that brand recognition, that once you get your cannabis business up and running, you have a built-in brand recognition. Absolutely agree with that. But as far as getting into the cannabis space, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Well, there's a lot of companies that have crossed over from both sides.
Well, I'm not saying they can't, and I agree with your branding. No.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm saying get your understanding of the industry.
I think you're full of shit.
I say get your CBD brand off the ground, make enough money to where you can then get into the cannabis space.
Well,
that's what I just said.
That's not what you said.
I said start by starting a CBD company.
That's not what you said.
Is that not what I just said, you guys? Please, I'm looking around the room. You're having an old man moment right now.
That's not what you said.
Mark, please.
We are going to call those two people and give them the information they need. So expect to get a call from the Pop Brothers at Law.
Yeah.
That's Mark, please do it. That would be great of you to do that.
Well, with that being said,
don't just do lip service. You better call them.
Oh, we got the numbers.
No. With that being said, guys, it's important to have your opinion and voice what you want to hear and say on this show.
Except
we want to listen to you guys and know what you think and what you think about Craig's ideas.
Our
and
dream
Joe's
killer,
ideas,
Mr. Craig Wasserman.
All of us. And we also want to be better for you and give you more advice. So it's 1-800-420-1980. That's 1-800-420-1980. And you guys, and Craig, it's 1-800-
420-1980.
Can you say it in Spanish again?
Come on, please.
One more time, please. Can you do it one more time in Spanish for us? Because matter of fact, we just got a tweet. Oh, God, Craig, that the way you did that in Spanish was unbelievable.
So call 800-420-1980.
Yeah! It's Cannabis Talk 101. Remember this, guys. Call us. You'll get response. And if no one else loves you, we do.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. We appreciate your voicemails you left us at 800-420-1980.